This week's mailbag comes to us from Sarah. Dear Lisa, I wanted to reach out to say thank you. I have spent much of my life commuting and always wanting to be productive. I would get frustrated knowing that if I didn't have a commute, I could have had 2 additional hours every day to work out or get laundry done. I started a new job working from home about 2 years ago, and I love it so much. Being able to work out during my breaks and getting a quick power nap in during lunch has done wonders for me. However, with a recent health issue, I now find myself driving long distances to doctor's appointments and chiropractic appointments. I felt myself getting angry about being stuck in the car again, losing valuable time. However, listening to your podcast, you discussed the fake commute that you created just to get your thinking time. You talked about the season of your life when you spent 20 hours a week in a car and you would use that time to connect with Joey or Abby, or you would just listen to a podcast or book. I decided to change my attitude and embrace the commute. I pay attention to my mood and I decide if I want to drive in silence to think or to do some deep breathing exercises, or if I want to listen to a podcast or just turn up the music and sing every lyric to 90s pop. I also grabbed my pink slash pocket that has all the books I'm wanting to read and I am downloading them on Audible. Thank you for sharing how you utilized a commute. The mindset shift has drastically improved my life and I'm embracing this current season. Thank you.
Do you have an organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. So this is the last in a 4-part series about looking at the executive functions of the brain and how we organize our lives, our information, our time, our planning. Today, I want to tuck 2 executive functions together. One is initiation, which means getting started, and the other one is task monitoring. And the reason why I am tucking these together is I think they really, really go well together. So initiating something, like the executive function of initiating, means to get started. But after I really learned more about initiating, especially when I was working with students in classrooms that had ADHD diagnoses, and I was working with other therapists who were teaching me skills, they said, Lisa, often when people are talking about initiation, they think it means like to just get started. Like, well, if I could just get started doing the dishes, I'll get the entire house cleaned. Or if I could just get started organizing this bedroom, I would be able to maintain that energy and keep going. And they said, actually, if you struggle with initiation, the executive function of initiation, they said, starting happens like every 5 minutes. Like, so the example given me was making a bagel. So when you need to make a bagel, it's like 18 steps. And I was like, no. They're like, yes. For someone who truly, truly struggles with initiation, making a bagel feels like climbing a mountain. And I'm like, explain more. And they said, okay, this is how you make a bagel. First, you have to get out the bagels. Then you have to get out the toaster. Then you have to get the bagel out of the bag. Then you have to put the bagel in the toaster. Then you have to take the bagel out of the toaster. Then you have to get the cream cheese. Then you have to put the cream cheese on the bagel. Then you have to put all of those things away, which is like 4 more steps. And I was like, it's 1 step of making the bagel. And they said, no, not if you struggle with initiation. So students, people who struggle with task initiation, think it is if I could just get started, like if I could just start the Sunday basket, if I could just start making the bagel, if I could just start cleaning out the garage. But really, that's the first of many, many, many starts. And for some of us, it is like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. You know, how long is it going to take? And that first initial initiation is what we need in order to do the whole task. But if you truly struggle with initiation, then you're resonating with what I'm saying. And I've now seen it in reality. It's not as common. I mean, I don't see it often. Of course, people aren't telling me what they're thinking all of the time. But if you struggle with initiation where making a bagel is really 18 steps, this is why you just don't cook, or you just don't do that thing, or you just reduce the amount of stuff you have in your house down to a minimal level, because it is easier to live as a minimalist than it is to try to do all the initiations that would be to organize the rest of the things. Nothing wrong with minimalism. I'm just saying that I have seen many, many times students who struggle with initiation reduce the quantity of objects that they own or that they manage down to the minimal amount possible so that they don't have to constantly initiate. They just reduce the whole thing. They just order the fast food. They don't even cook. They don't even have the things to cook. They don't. And even ordering the fast food, there's a lot of initiating there. Where are you going to go? What are you going to order? When are you going to order it? And you may say, Lisa, it's not this many steps. Then that means that you don't struggle with initiation, because people who do are like, oh my gosh, somebody finally understands me. It is huge. It can be hugely debilitating. And again, it comes back to habits and rules. Remember I told you 95% of your life is habitual? Habits and rules. Like, we eat at these three places, and this is what I order when I go to that place, eliminates the need to constantly initiate. So the first one may be, if initiation is really that difficult, you do buy your meals already prepared, or you go out and you eat out versus cooking, because cooking is just way too many steps. And then you take those rules a step farther in that, when I go to this restaurant, I get this thing. When I go to this restaurant, I get this thing. So that you don't have to initiate and think and go through all of those different possibilities every time. Now, task monitoring is also internal. All these things are internal. But task monitoring is the ability to see how far you have come and how far you need to go. And so when you struggle with task monitoring, you always feel like you have so much further to go than how far you've been. So it doesn't matter how much effort or how much time you put into organizing, all you see is how far you have to go, and it's so overwhelming that you just get paralyzed and you have a hard time moving forward. Now, Dan Sullivan has a book called The Gap and the Gain. He has a podcast on it. And he talks about the difference between the gap and the gain is that if you're looking at where you are today and where you want to be in the future, it always seems so far away because you don't know how long it's going to take to get there or the steps that it will take. Remember, a couple podcasts ago, I said that getting organized is going to take 1 to 3 years. And you're still listening to this podcast because you're hearing me say this, but also maybe mentally you were like, forget it. I'm out. You got to be kidding me. No way, Jose. I'm out. But you're still listening to the podcast. So you're still at least passively organizing, and mentally you're getting your, you know, you're like revving yourself up for this potential, you know, 1 to 3 years worth of organizing. Or maybe you're already in it and that was a newsflash for you and you're like, you thought you were almost done. You're like, oh my gosh, there might be a lot more to this than I thought. That is task monitoring. Like, oh my goodness, I have so far to go. So the ability to turn around, as Dan Sullivan says, and look at how much you've already accomplished really helps you with the perspective of how much more you have to go and gives you the impetus to keep going, even though you feel overwhelmed right now. So initiating and task monitoring. Now, up until this point, we've been talking about working memory. So I told you about the Sunday basket, organization of materials. I told you about the productive home solution, planning, which I told you about planning day and the planning workbook and how you actually plan 3 times a year. I've been talking a lot about the systems and the programs that Organize 365 has that support these different executive functions. But today, when I talk about initiating and task monitoring, these are the hardest to find support for when you download a printable or you get a course or you talk to a friend. Because when you're in your house by yourself and you need to organize and you struggle with initiation, which is just getting started in general, or if you struggle with all of the different steps that need to be taken in initiating, you can get paralyzed very quickly or sidetracked very quickly, and all of a sudden you've never started, or you've started once or twice, but it was really hard, so you didn't make any progress. Same with task monitoring. It is so hard to, on your own, in your house, look back and see how far you've come and see how far you have to go. And this is why professional organizers are the best and easiest way to get organized, is because it's another human. And when you have another human next to you in your house, the professional organizer sets the pace and they're constantly initiating. And if you get stuck and you can't keep initiating, they just initiate for you and they just keep organizing. Like, it's heavenly. Also, a good professional organizer is basically a coach, and they are going to be doing the task monitoring constantly. Like, I know this is really hard, but remember we already did that room and you can do this and I'm right here with you. And so if you just go through this box, I'll go through these 10. And you're like, okay, fine. She's doing 10. I'm doing one. It'll be fine. I'm going to be fine. Everybody's going to be fine. And so professional organizers, yes, they know how to organize. That is definitely a plus. But also, you get to use their energy and their expertise and their friendship and their coaching, and you get to talk to them and process through this change that you're going through. Like, professional organizers are so, so, so many things. It's not just somebody that comes in and organizes your house. And they really, really, really help you with this initiating and task monitoring. Of course, they're organizing your materials. They don't necessarily help you with your working memory or your planning, but they definitely help you with the organizing of materials and initiation and task monitoring. The only way in which I see a professional organizer not being a benefit is when the professional organizer has their own idea of the perfect organizational system that will work for everyone, and they try to put that organizational system in your house, and they don't go through those organization rules of materials that I told you about a couple podcasts. They believe everything has a place and they know the place it needs to go. You need to make sure that the place that your professional organizer is putting your stuff is the place that you would look for it. Because even if it's a weird place you want to put it, you should put it where you want it, not where the professional organizer has put it in all the other houses, because you'll never find it if they put it where they think it should be. Also, remember that to maintain what is working, if a professional organizer is working in your house and they're helping you in an area that you have never organized before, you don't have a structure for, that's great. But even if you really like that professional organizer, don't let them just organize your entire house. Because if you have things that are working and then they move it to their system, that's great. It may look pretty, but it's not going to function if the way you were using it was working already. So remember, the biggest goal of organization of materials is about creating personal rules for a season and following those rules. So you need to be strong with your professional organizer. If you're like, oh, okay, but we put this here in our house, if they say, oh, this goes over here, I want you to push back a little bit and say, okay, but I actually use it right here, so I want to keep it here. And find a professional organizer that will work with you. But I say all that about professional organizers, and I've been a professional organizer, but professional organizers in your home are extremely expensive and very few people can afford them. It's just the facts. Like, it's expensive. And if you can afford it, stop the podcast, go hire one and move on. It's the easy button. It will be amazing. You should do it. But when I created Organize 365 and I created the Sunday Basket, I created the certification program for the Sunday Basket before we had a physical Sunday Basket. A year. I created the certification program for the Sunday Basket before we had the prototype. Because as a teacher, I know, even if you love the podcast and you buy all the Organize 365 products, if you struggle with initiation and task monitoring, you need a person. You need a person. This is not really something really hard to overcome this without another person. Now, you don't have to have a professional organizer come into your home, but that is the easy button if you want to do that. The certification program that we created is for paper organizing and for the Sunday Basket and the Friday Workbox. Remember how I said a couple of podcasts ago that when you go to organize your paper, it is super, super hard, even for professional organizers, because there's so many pieces of paper and it's like playing the game of memory and go fish as an adult without a playbook or another person. Like, the easiest way to organize your paper is to do it with somebody. And so the certified organizers can do that at paper organizing retreats, virtually or in person. And then the other thing that we built into Organize 365 are the clubs and the communities. So Organize 365 has a community app. All of our programs, the Workbox, the Sunday Basket, the Productive Home Solution, the Teacher Workbox, all of them, they all have a group inside of our own app. And I love our own app because it keeps you off of Facebook. If you love Facebook, that's fine. I love Instagram. But when you go to class and when you have a question, I want you to be able to be focused on, okay, this is the group I'm in. This is the class I'm in. These are my classmates. I'm going to ask them a question and then we're going to crowdsource an answer. And then Organize 365 has an education department, you know, Monique and Tanya and Steph and Michelle, and they're in there and they are commenting as well as the certified organizers. So when you ask a question inside of the Organize 365 community app for any of these products that you've purchased, you get an Organize 365 employee, certified organizer, and your fellow classmates all responding to you. You could do this. This is great. Here's how I do it. Like, why don't we try this? Like, oh yeah. And you guys are so awesome. You're like, okay, so Sunday Basket Club is on Sunday, but we're going to initiate, like, I'm going to clean out my closet this weekend. Who wants to do it with me? And like, everybody will join in. Like, this initiating and this task monitoring happens so much better in community than it does by ourselves. And when I did my own executive function profile and Barbara was going through my executive function profile as I was trying to find out if I did or did not have ADHD, I realized that as a teacher, when I created the Sunday Basket and the Workbox and the Productive Home Solution, I created all of the things inside of those programs that I knew as a teacher in a classroom would support all different learning types, all different neurodiversities, which now I realize are all the different executive functions. So we organize our materials the same way, and we have planning day, and we have a place for all of our ideas, a parking lot for all of our ideas, which is the Sunday Basket, for our working memory, so we could be fully present, so we can learn whatever we need to learn. And I just intuitively knew that unless there was a community of people getting organized together and certified organizers that could work with you one-on-one, not everyone would receive success from a course. Because when I started Organize 365, I started it as a blog before I became a professional organizer. Once I was organizing for 3 years and I realized that organization was a learnable skill, which I did not know that 87% of you would agree with me on until last year's academic research, I realized that, okay, I was watching people who I was helping get organized in person, then get organized after I left. And when I came back the next time, or canceling my services to come back the next time because they learned the skill of organizing, I thought, okay, well, then this is my life's work. I'm a teacher. It's learnable. How do I teach it to people? And as an in-home professional organizer, it was really expensive. And some people luckily could afford that so I could do it in person. I was like, how do I democratize this? How do I figure out a way to teach this through the internet so that everyone can learn the skill of organizing? And that's where the podcast came from. All right, I'll start talking about it. Let's see if people can pick it up from my talk about it. Okay, I'll create a course. All right, so we'll have a course that goes with podcasts. Okay, we'll create products. We need binders. We need Sunday baskets. Okay, we'll create certified organizers. Okay, we'll create our own app. Like, all of this has been from one desire 8 years ago of like, okay, organization is a learnable skill. I tell you organization is a learnable skill so that you don't feel alone. I tell me organization is a learnable skill because I thought I was a born organized person. And you either had it or you didn't because nobody knew where to go learn it. And I've been spending the last 8 years figuring out like, okay, well, if it's learnable, how do you teach it? How do you teach it when you're not next to someone and you don't know what they're holding in their hand and they need to organize? Do you know how hard it is what we have done here? Like, you literally are in your house holding something I cannot see, and you know what to do with it because we've done this podcast and we have this community and we have these products. Like, to me, that's like some awesome magic trick that we've come up with. And it's because my whole goal for the last 8 years has been, how do I teach you and your home halfway around the world that looks nothing like mine, in a different religion, a different ethnicity, a different dwelling, to organize without ever meeting you? How do I do that? And we're doing it. Like, we're so doing it. And I've used every single skill I know as a teacher to do that. We all have the same language, so we created a glossary. We all have the same materials. We all have the same lessons in the podcast. We all have the same values, that we believe that life happens in abundance and that we're positive and we're in a community with each other and there are no dumb answers, dumb questions. Like, we can just be who we are. There is no one perfect answer. Like, you could be a minimalist. You could be a maximalist. You can live in an apartment. You can live on a boat. You can live in an RV. You can live in a farmhouse. You can have 18 people living in your house. You can live by yourself. Like, it doesn't matter. All of those things are individualized, but the skill of learning organization is available to all. Like, it's available to all. But in order to initiate, if you struggle with initiation, and in order to do task monitoring, if you struggle with task monitoring, it needs to be done with other humans. That needs to be done with other humans. And if you're not in the community and you don't work with a professional organizer, I think that we do this a lot through the podcast. The reason why I know this is because, and I get this very often, I was just going to listen to the podcast for fun. And I was sitting on the couch, and the next thing I knew, I was up organizing something. There's something that I'm doing on the podcast. I don't know what it is yet. You guys can email me. Tell me what I'm doing. Where you start listening to the Organize 365 podcast, and you've created this script where you start organizing. I am your professional organizer in your house with you. I just can't see what you're holding. But we're organizing together, aren't we? Like, we're totally organizing together. And I think, when I go all the way back to the beginning of Organize 365, once I found I was a professional organizer, and the kind of teacher I am, is I am a learning teacher. Like, I am learning as much as I'm teaching, maybe more than I'm teaching. I'm always learning from you. Every DM you send me on Instagram, I read. That's always me. If I reply in the app, that is me. Like, nobody impersonates Lisa Woodruff anywhere. They will do Organize 365. If I reply to an email, that is me. If Pat replies to my email, it will be by Pat. Like, nobody pretends to be Lisa. So I am learning about you, about different generations, different genders, different ethnicities, different countries, different, like, I'm taking in all this information as fast as I possibly can so that I can find as many commonalities and then also differences so that we could discuss them, so that we can all get more organized, so we could get more time, so we could do what we're uniquely created to do, which is something that's different than what I'm doing. And when I was learning as a kid, because I was diagnosed with dyslexia when I was in high school, and I now know it's my inattention to detail why I always had this floating C and wasn't able to get the grades that I wanted to get, I loved learning. I mean, I've always loved learning. I love knowledge. I always knew the answer. I remember when I got like a D on a paper and my parents like lost their minds. And I said, Mom, after I got the grade, I went up to the teacher and asked the correct, you know, what were the answers? Like, ask me any question on that test and I can give you the accurate answer because I've learned the answers. Like, do you care that I know the information, or do you care the grade that I got on a test at a certain amount of time when they tested my knowledge? Because I have the knowledge. But the grade when I took the test was that. Like, which do you care more about, the grade or the knowledge? Can you imagine raising me like as a very good kid, but also precocious? And so when I looked at organization as a field, before I knew that organization was a learnable skill, and before I knew that America believes that organization is a learnable skill, I felt like there was this goal we were trying to get to with our organization, this finished product of this perfect looking house that's all labeled. And also knowing that I was never a straight A student or not even an AB student, I'm not a person that's capable of perfection. I learned that at a very young age. I'm not a child that is capable of perfection. No matter how hard I tried, I was not able to be perfect. So it was sixth grade when I decided that I was no longer going to try to be a perfect person. It was easier for me to make a rule that Lisa is not perfect instead of continuing to try to be perfect. And so it was in eighth grade when I got that D, and I'd already made a rule for myself 2 years earlier that I wasn't a perfect person. And to me, knowledge was more important than the letter grade because I just wasn't capable of the straight A's. So why strive for something forever that is not even a possibility? So I went after knowledge versus grades, and I got the knowledge, but not the grades. So because of that, I learned in high school to give myself grace because no one else did. Like, my parents did not give me grace. My parents were great. They were not grace givers. School did not give me grace. The world did not give me grace. I did not have friends. The world was very hard for me. And I decided that I'm going to be 100. Like, I knew when I was a kid I was going to be 100. I'm going to be here a long time. So I guess I'm just going to like myself. And I'm not a perfect person. And I'm just going to decide it's okay that I'm not a perfect person. And because I made that decision, like, at such a young age, the hardest times in my life were when I was trying to go after something new perfect, like being a perfect mom, perfect business owner, a perfect wife. I mean, I can picture in my head the movies that are playing when I say those things. And I failed miserably, epically, like catastrophically whenever I try to be perfect. But when I say, okay, so this is the resources I have. This is the skill set I have. This is where we are in life. I'm going to take it from here. When I give myself that grace, that lack of perfection, and I replace that with, I am not a perfect person, but I am a woman of excellence. Well, then I'm empowered. Then I can take action. Then I can give myself and those around me grace. And that was a big thing for me when I started Organize 365 at the age of 40. It's literally failing at everything in my life. You can read about it in the book, Organization is a Learnable Skill. And I decided to give myself grace. I decided to give myself grace at the age of 40. And I decided to take back my life and get my home organized. And in the process, I told you back when we were talking about organization of materials, rule number 2, when you reorganize your life at life stages and unexpected events, like, they were just stacked on top of me and pushing me into the ground like you wouldn't believe when I was turning 40. And that process that I walked through in Organization is a Learnable Skill, that memoir of reclaiming my life, taking ownership of my life again, taking responsibility for my life, and giving myself grace. I was so hard on myself in my late 30s. As I was settling my father's estate and going from doctor's appointment to doctor's appointment with the kids and my parents' divorce and all of these things. And, you know, 2008 happened in there. It just on and on and on and on and on. And I was trying to solve all of that by being a good girl and being perfect and striving for, you know, perfection. And it got me further and further and further from who I am. That when I finally started Organize 365 and I reorganized my house, and I reclaimed my parenting and my home and my marriage and started a new business that was going to be my forever business. I did it. I had to give myself grace. That was the only way to do it because I don't know how to run a company. And I didn't know how to parent middle school kids. And, you know, there were a lot of things I realized that I didn't have enough information to do. But if I did them imperfectly, with grace, with the goal of excellence, everything started going better. And thank goodness I started my professional organization company then, because as soon as I walked into every house I walked into, the homeowner would be like, oh, I'm so sorry, it's such a mess. I've just, you know, oh, you know, excuses and there's something wrong with me and I can't do this and I'm ADD and I'm this and I'm that. And I was like, No, you're fine. Life just got moving too fast. It ran you over. I'm here to help you. Like, let's let's get it reorganized again. It's no big deal. Like, we'll do it together. You're doing great. You're doing a great job. Like, what's working around here? What's not working? How can I support you? How can I encourage you? How can I motivate you? And it was those friendships in those first 3 years, because it's really what professional organizers are. They're paid friends, really. It was those women who I became friends with, and I watched them become organized, become confident, give back to their families and their societies, and go back into the workforce again with confidence versus feeling so shamed and judged and less than and not enough and you can't do it. And they were so beaten down. And I was like, this is not right. Like, we are trying so hard. We are all trying so hard to do our best, to be our best, to be there for everyone, to provide a wonderful, welcoming household. And it's a lot. It's a lot. And it changes. Like, the organization required in your household changes. The demands on your time change over time. The stakes change. I mean, if you're helping someone who's fighting through cancer, whole different level of organization you need than somebody's like, I'm going to organize a bake sale. Like, life is hard, and life has seasons that are really, really hard and seasons that are really light. And this, the executive functions of initiation and task monitoring are so entwined to who we are and how we judge ourselves, that I feel the only way to truly start to give yourself grace for initiation and task monitoring is to get inside of the app and receive it. Like, you have to receive it before you can give it even to yourself. And that's what the blitzes do as well. Like, nobody's got the holidays figured out. That's why we have a whole blitz for it. We're going to proactively think about it. We're going to interview our families. We're going to make a plan. And then we're going to try that plan. And then next year, we're going to try it again and try it again and try it again. And every year, we want you to get more and more time, more and more of doing the holidays the way you want to do the holidays, more, less and less unexpected, you know, things coming out of nowhere that sidetrack you on the holidays. I can't change your family, but we can change how often you see your family. You could change what you do, like bring a board game, bring a game, go on a field trip, take them to a concert instead of sitting around and having the same conversations in the living room every year. Like, you could be more proactive than you think. But for initiating and task monitoring and understanding how far you've come, it is so helpful to be in community with other people who are working on those same exact skills. Like, I love seeing in the app when people who share, and a lot of people don't share, you just watch and that's totally fine. But if you are a sharer, and some people share a lot, and they're like, oh, I'm so overwhelmed, I'm in this area. And then you'll see all these comments below, but no, remember last spring you were in this area and you did this. Like, you remember about your classmates and where they were, and you see the progress they're making. It's so hard to see your own progress, but you guys, you're so empowering and loving and encouraging with each other. It's the most awesome thing. And you were that way on Facebook too. It wasn't bringing you into a private app that made you less encouraging. It just allowed that to flourish and allowed some of you to participate that don't want to participate in a Facebook type app. I love it. I love it. I love how you surround and support each other. I love how some of you have found certified organizers and you're in their ongoing memberships, and they are pointing out to you and task monitoring with you and for you and helping you initiate. I love it. I love it. Initiation and task monitoring happens with humans. Like, you need human support. We aren't meant to do these things on our own. And I've really enjoyed doing this executive function series of podcasts with you. Just want to remind you. Just a business owner with a microphone here, not a doctor, not a psychiatrist. These are just my observations over the last 11 years now of working in person and online, helping people get organized and seeing how these executive functions really come into play and how I believe they really get strengthened as you learn the skill of organizing. And that's what I hope to research and learn more about as I go through and get my own PhD. so that we can reach more people. Because if 87% of Americans believe that organization is a learnable skill, and yet 13 to 18% feel they're organized in any of the four categories that I've identified, there are a lot of people out there that are not feeling like they're getting grace and that they're making progress and that they're doing a good job. There are a lot of people out there feeling like, okay, so organization is the thing and I don't have it. Bummer for me. And that's terrible. That's not what I want. And so that is what I think my unique calling is to keep pressing into how we feel as homeowners, how we get organized as homeowners, and how to get more people organized with us.